happiness, an achievement, or an endless pursuit? The world in which we live today is getting constantly more complex. The challenges, the difficulties, the frustrations. And it seems that the technological advancements have not really made this world a happier or even a safer place to live. I think that part of the issue is really a misunderstanding of what happiness is. Happiness is the ultimate pursuit. Everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. I recently heard that there may be as many as close to 30,000 books on happiness on Amazon alone. It's the ultimate pursuit that everybody is engaged in one way or another. Yet if we measure by any of the standards, statistics, rates that we find, the world doesn't seem to have achieved its goal by any means. The extent of depression, mental illness, divorce, abuse, substance abuse, all of it. It just seems that the world as a whole, and maybe the vast majority of its individuals, do not seem to have achieved the goal of happiness and seem to be finding that goal very, very elusive. I think the saddest part of this situation is that not only do we not know exactly what happiness is, and therefore the pursuit is sometimes futile because we don't know what we're looking for. We're unlikely to find it, or even to recognize it if we came upon it. But more serious than that, we live in a society that has assumed a definition or at least an equation for happiness, which may be not only not the truth, but may be even antithetical, the opposite of what happiness really is. Our society, Western civilization, seems to equate pleasure with happiness. The assumption is indulge in pleasure, and more pleasure, and ever more pleasure, constant pleasure, ongoing pleasure, all types of, all various different types of pleasure, and that's, you'll be happy. That's what it's all about. Yet, if we consult with so many of these pleasure seekers, after so many years, they're still seeking. They haven't seemed to find that happiness. Seems to be very, very elusive. And I think that a definition, an understanding of what happiness truly is, might give us some guidance and some insight into this error that's being made, and maybe even some ability to correct the situation. We're very fortunate. We have a language different from all other languages. The Loshon HaKodesh, the holy language, the language of the Tanakh, the language of creation, is different from all of the other languages. In all languages, words are basically convention. People agree to call a table and a chair and a paper and a pencil and so forth and so on. In Loshon Kodesh, not in the modern Hebrew necessarily, but in the old, the Loshon Kodesh, the holy tongue, the tongue of the Tanakh, not so. A word has meaning, and every time a three-letter root appears in a word, it implants that significant meaning in that word. Because those three letters, that three-letter root, has an essential meaning and describes the essence of the concept. A very high form of happiness is osher. Osher spelt Aleph Shin Reish. It seems that the shoyrish of that word is ishur, validation. Happiness is about validation. Happiness is about feeling good about myself, feeling worthwhile, feeling valid. When I feel good about myself, I'm happy. And the truth be told, when I feel good about myself, I probably don't need much else, because inside, it's there. It's me. I'm worthy. I'm worth. I'm valid. I'm happy. Unfortunately, the pursuit of pleasure not only undermines this in its frustrating ability, or the frustration that ensues when I don't seem to feel internally happy despite all of the access and the intense pursuit and achievement of pleasure that I have in this world, but it sends the wrong message. Because the reality is that the pursuit of pleasure speaks against happiness. It's antithetical to happiness, because if happiness is feeling good about myself, that's an internal feeling. Pleasure is the need and the pursuit of external feelings. And the external that I attempt to satisfy myself, at least momentarily, because it's very fleeting. But that external pleasure, that sends the message that I am not valid. I am not worthy. I need all of this stimulation and fun and thrill and pleasure from the outside in order to survive. That says that I'm far from worthy within myself. I don't feel that sense of self-worth or a validation. I am needy for all that input and all that intake from the outside, which sends the message to me that, to the contrary, I am not worthy, I am not valid. And therefore, if anything, it undermines my happiness at the very same time that it gives me this temporary and fleeting pleasure. There's something about pleasure that is really critical to understand. I guess I learned it personally, I'm sure many times. One time that comes to mind was in a visiting Miami, and someone took us out to a dairy restaurant there, Sarah's. And there I was introduced, not much of a drinker to say the least, by any means, but I was introduced to a drink, pina colada. Liked it. It was very good. And subsequently, at different affairs, was tried from here, time to time, over a couple of years, once in a while, a pina colada. And I was very disappointed to discover that nobody knows how to make pina colada like Sarah's. Then a few years later, and maybe three or four pina coladas later, over those years, not too bad, not too addictive, I was back in Sarah's, ordered a pina colada, and I saw that Sarah doesn't know how to make pina colada either. I learned a very, very simple yet profound lesson. The first time, a new pleasure, wow, something. It's interesting, it's new, it's fresh. The taste buds, or the sensory buds, haven't been dulled yet. It's good. Second time, It's dull. I've had it already. It's not as fresh. It's not as exciting. The taste buds have been dulled. I get used to it. And the third time, even more. And the fourth time. And that's why we find in the pursuit of pleasure that people always constantly have to up the ante and search for bigger numbers and bigger volume, because they cannot get the same good feeling from the same amount, because it's the sensitivity has dwindled. But it's even worse than that. Because just as the sensitivity has dwindled, the imagination exaggerates. In retrospect, we exaggerate pleasure. I assume that that's because since the physical pleasures of the world are not lasting in their satisfaction, momentary, fleeting at best, so in order to maintain something, at least a positive memory, we exaggerate it. We make it even greater than it is. So here I am, trying to enjoy this second, third, and fourth pina colada, when the taste buds have been reduced, it doesn't have that excitement, and the memory with which I'm comparing it to is even enhanced and greater. So I don't stand a chance. The physical taste is less, the memory is exaggerated, can't enjoy it. Now this is really the beginning of the frustration of the pursuit of pleasure in the name of the pursuit of happiness. And what it does is it frustrates, because I need constantly more and more and more, and I have to graduate from one level to another level to another level, constantly varying, constantly more intense, constantly bigger volume, never ending, and hardly ever satisfying, except maybe for a moment. And oftentimes, especially when that moment is not in touch with the reality surrounding me. And unfortunately, this is what we find today so many people get involved in. But what happens to a portion of the population, the estimate is that maybe 50% of the population have an addictive personality. That means that this pursuit of an addictive substance, alcohol is such, drugs are such, there are other things that are also addictive, activities, different pleasures, different stimulants. And what happens is that eventually I get hooked. I can't stop. I keep going. I must have more. I must. And it's constantly more and more and more, and graduating to a higher level of stimulation and a higher level and a higher level, and it's endless, because I have, so to speak, taken the addictive genie, let the addictive genie out of the bottle. If I hadn't started with an addictive behavior, maybe that never would have shown. But those people, that approximately 50% of the population, and that's a high percentage, that's a dangerous percentage for an unknown condition, for us to take any chances, and eventually end up with a terrible addiction. Now, addiction is a life-altering phenomenon. It takes over, because my life becomes all about finding that fix. I need it. I must have it. I can't manage without it. Some people a little more, some people a little less, but it becomes very, very serious. And what it does, besides just creating this slavery, this enslavement to that passion, to that desire, to that addiction, but what it does, it also compromises and almost atrophies my ability to face the challenges of life. And if I can't face the challenges of life, they're not going away. They have to be dealt with. They have to be faced head on. They have to be addressed. They have to be strategized against or with and resolved. But yet, I've chosen another method. I run away. I run away and I pretend. I run into a world that doesn't really exist. And I pretend that the challenges and the problems of life are no longer. But they're right there the minute I come out. And I usually come out not only not elevated, not only not strengthened, but reduced, depressed, frustrated, even less capable of facing those challenges, and having learned and adjusted to a habit, a system of not dealing with problems, not dealing with challenges, just running away. And that's one tragic, tragic occurrence, result, ramification that happens from this addiction situation that so many oftentimes fall into. But there's another very sad factor or result as well, and that is its direct negative impact on human happiness. Because if happiness is about feeling good about myself, then true purpose in life is what's going to make me very happy. I have a purpose. I feel worthy. I feel good about myself. In the life of the addict, his purpose, the real purpose, is overshadowed by the temporary obsessive purpose of finding the next fix. That becomes my reason to live. That becomes the focus of my day. That becomes the focus of my life. And when that happens, not only am I indulging in activities which are antithetical to happiness, but it takes me further and further away from searching for true purpose in life. My mind is cluttered. My whole psychology is overwhelmed with this addiction, and therefore I can't really allow myself to even focus on discovering or on recognizing or on fulfilling or on attempting to fulfill my true purpose in life, which would be the true source of human happiness. So it's a very sad operation, this whole drug culture and this whole pursuit of these pleasures which lead to that. Now, some people don't get in that far. Some people get in very far. Most people have no way of knowing when they get started how far it will take them, how far it will lead, how far, when it will, if ever, end. Because it's unpredictable. It depends on so many factors, so many internal, so many psychological, so many genetic, and so many circumstantial factors that there's really no way of the interventions that happen, the help that we get, no way of knowing. But we face grave danger in this world. And the reality is that this whole situation really has to do, in the broader society, with the concept that in our world today, many feel deprived of a sense of purpose at all, because so many have subscribed to a philosophy, to a theory, which postulates that basically, in the most simplest form, forgive the oversimplification, we're here by accident. If I am an accident, then by definition I have no purpose. I have no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no point. There's nothing validating because I'm living a life without a purpose. Anyone knows. If you walk into a mental health professional's office and you say, "Hey doc, I got no purpose in living," it's really time for a suicide watch. So we have a very serious problem in our society by all those who have been afflicted by this sense of human accident. In times of old, before this theory was so popularized, people knew there was a creation. Whether they knew who the creator was, whether they knew what the purpose was, but they could search for something, they could hope for something. There was a hope in life. Today, life is hopeless. Because if we're accidents, then there is no purpose. If there's no purpose, might as well just have a good time and try to have fun and thrills and maximize the pleasure until till it's all over. And unfortunately, even those that know that they have a purpose are influenced by the outside world. The prevalence of drugs, the acceptability of drugs, the normalcy of all of these addictions and all of these behaviors in society today are so widespread that it can't help but affect even those that know that life does have a purpose, and they know that these activities are really against undermining the ever-appreciating and fulfilling that purpose. So we're living in a world which faces a very, very serious problem. And one of the most serious issues, I believe, is that we don't realize how serious it is. We tend to underestimate it. We tend, nah, come on, what do you mean? It's okay. Everybody's doing it. It's this, it's that, it's that. No, because we never know. We never know. We have no way of knowing what personality we have in terms of addiction. And we have no way of charting or predicting the future, that any involvement with any type of addictive substances can lead us to. And therefore, we really require today a lot of education. And I believe that the only real strength that we could have to avoid all of this is a strong sense of true happiness. True happiness meaning that I have a sense of my own validity. I have a sense of meaning and purpose in my life. I know that my purpose is my true purpose. I know that my purpose has been communicated to me by the Creator Himself, which is the fortunate state of affairs for us. And therefore, I can truly feel happy. And if I know I can feel true happiness, and if I'm smart, then I won't do anything to allow myself, even temporarily, to compromise that state of being. Because to allow the compromise would be to take a chance at ruining the happiness of my life, sometimes, oftentimes, even in a permanent way, and leading my life down, down, down in such a negative spiral that it becomes sometimes almost, or at least seemingly impossible, to return. And therefore, I believe that we have to do everything in our power to educate and to influence and to inspire the youth and the adults of our generation, the population of our generation, to find true meaning in life, to recognize the true purpose for their existence, to find true human happiness, which is validation, feeling good about myself. It's well known that addicts feel terrible about themselves. They have a terrible self-image. They can't feel good about themselves, not when they're under the influence, and even in between influences, because I don't have anything. It's all from the outside. I think that if we could take this message to heart, we could save a lot of grief. We could save a lot of illness. And we could save many, many lives. Hashem should help that we should be able to take this message, strengthen ourselves, strengthen those around us, and to be able to enhance the quality of living in a way that should make a significant, a massive difference on our generation and future generations as well.